And good Monday, everybody. Great to be with you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK every Monday, brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades, and you'll find out why any business is around for decades and why they have repeat customers. You find out because service means everything to them. They get you the best price, the right insurance. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. As Kevin Herr returns, believing he is the conquering hero, we don't know what he's conquered at all. We'll hear from him just a little bit later. And will we give him 10 good IndyCar seconds? Well, we had no IndyCar seconds last week, and the show went swimmingly. All right, so coming up on the show today, we're going to talk with Penn State basketball player Brandon Taylor. We're also going to talk about the recent World Cup triumph with Erica Walsh, five Nittany Lions, four former players, and one current player just played in the World Cup, two for the United States. And we'll be talking with Erica Walsh about that and the impact on U.S. soccer coming up in the next hour with her. So we'll have her on at 3:35 today. We're looking forward to that very, very much. The Pirates have hit the All-Star break with the second-best record in baseball, but in reality, they've hit the All-Star break as the best team in baseball. The Cardinals are a banged-up group right now. There's no question about that. Matt Holliday's out. Matt Adams is out. Of course, they lost Wainwright early in the season. And the Pirates just took three out of four, including the last three. Two of them in walk-off fashion in extra innings. The Andrew McCutchen home run after they rallied on Saturday night. And then last night, down 5-3 in the 10th, scored three runs in the bottom of the 10th. And Gregory Polanco delivered the game-winning hit in last night's game to give the Pirates a 6-5 win over the Cardinals in that one. And they have hit the All-Star break. Two and a half back, but in reality right now, the best team in baseball. And for them, the All-Star game is going to have some meaning because not only are they the best team in baseball, they are also a team that probably has right now, is the team that has the best home field advantage in baseball. And that's something that's why for them the All-Star game does have some meaning. I mean, I think Kansas City has great fans, without question, and they provide a great home field advantage, but Madison Bumgarner didn't care about that. But in the end, I think PNC Park is the best home field advantage in baseball. So if they can somehow see the National League win tomorrow night, it would have some meaning. In the last two games, the eighth time in modern history, a team has won two straight games, both having fallen behind in extra innings. It's only the eighth time in modern history a team has ever done that. Also, the British Open this week, Jordan Spieth, winner yesterday at the John Deere Classic. No Rory McIlroy, now goes to St. Andrews. It gets awfully interesting, doesn't it? Coming up, I will talk with Brandon Taylor, the Nittany Lion basketball team. Then Erica Walsh, next half hour, we'll take a break here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK on this Monday. The All-Star break is upon us. The Pirates playing the best baseball right now anywhere. They may have the second best record in baseball behind the Cardinals, but right now they're the best team in baseball. After taking three out of four from St. Louis, including the last three, the last two in dramatic fashion, with walk-off wins, each time rallying after falling behind in extra innings. It's only the eighth time in modern history that's ever happened. And Lip for Life was on Saturday. $119,000, the preliminary number raised in the Lip for Life. Great success. Team in great shape. Camp coming up in just a few weeks for the 2015 season. It's getting to that time of the year. We'll be talking with Erica Walsh, Penn State women's soccer coach, in a few moments. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served their customers for decades. Find out what it's like to deal with the best. Someone that will take a good look at your insurance needs, and they'll get you the best price. The right coverage, the best price. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. United States women's soccer team coming off the great triumph in the World Cup. Kenya the champions. They were there on Friday being honored in New York, each one of them receiving a replica key to the city of New York. Great moment for them. It's also a great moment for Penn State. There were five Nittany Lions in the World Cup, one current player, four former players, two of which played for the United States. Allie Krieger, in fact, played every minute of every match in the World Cup. Very pleased now to be joined by the head soccer coach of the Nittany Lion women's soccer team, Erica Walsh. Erica, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity.
What a presence Penn State had at the World Cup with five Nittany Lions involved in the World Cup. What does that mean for the program to have that kind of presence on that stage?
Well, obviously, since the program's inception back in 1994, the support from the administration has been incredible. Right off the bat, the program was winning Big Ten championships 4 years in and won them ever since, except with the exception of 1 year. So, you know, starting from Coach Farmer and then Coach Wilkins and then through my era as well, program's been extremely successful. And, you know, I think all Penn Staters obviously are so proud of the work that these five young ladies did in the World Cup.
And, of course, listen, Allie Krieger ended up, Allie played every minute of every match.
Allie Krieger is a warrior. And yeah. The amount of positive publicity that she's bringing in for Penn State right now is incredible.
It really is. It's meant a lot to the program as to what she's been able to do along the way. And when you watched her play, what were some of the elements as she worked from the back up that really impressed you as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you start to talk about Allie Krieger, the thing that comes to mind the most is she's just a warrior. You know, I think that she was initially chosen for that World Cup team back in the day because of the way she defends and she's relentless and her work ethic. But she's developed into a more complete player now. You see her flying forward out of the back. You see the quality of her crosses. Her development over the last 10 years has been very, very impressive. And she's just now that complete player that I would argue is the best right back in the world at this point.
You've been deeply involved in international soccer over the years, Erica, for the United States. What has allowed the United States to be among the top three or four year in and year out, regardless of a World Cup?
Well, obviously, we are choosing from a much greater pool than many of these other countries. But with that being said, I think that our development program is more advanced than many of these countries in terms of from the youth level to the local level to the region to the state to the national level and through our Olympic development program. So, you know, I think that we're starting to get things right. Obviously, up to this point, we've been a bit bigger, faster, stronger than all of these countries. And now that we're starting to develop more technical and tactical athletes, hopefully we can continue to stay on top.
2 million girls are playing soccer across the country right now, and this has been a number that has been growing. As you recruit, are you seeing a deeper pool to recruit from on the college level because of those increasing numbers?
You know, it's a good question, Steve, and it's been really exciting. As my staff goes around the country and we go to these youth tournaments, that is absolutely the case. You know, I think whereas we used to walk away with a list of 10 that had the quality to play at a Penn State, now we're walking away with a list of 50 that are the top players in the country, and that has just grown exponentially as the years have passed. And as players from my generation are now getting into coaching, and they're coaching their daughters, you know, I think now we've got a generation of coaches that all played the game at a high level versus in our generation we were coached by our parents that were just wanted to be involved with their sons and daughters. So I think you're seeing a completely different level of coaching, and as a result you're seeing a different level of player.
In your coaching experience, because it's so deep and so varied, what are a couple of things that you picked up along the way that you now incorporate at Penn State that maybe if you hadn't had an international experience, it may not be present?
Well, obviously, we've got a tremendous impact from the game from around the world and experts from around the world. And when you look at what the top clubs are doing, both the men's and the women's side, you see these experts in so many fields. You see the use of technology and video, and now the use of video at halftime. Our players all wear heart rate monitors. We're investing in GPS. And all of this is just more data and information to stay ahead of the competitors, to stay ahead of the competition, but more importantly, to keep these athletes healthy. And I think that we've got the quality of player and athlete to be successful, to win a national championship at Penn State, but you got to keep them healthy and you got to keep them on the field. And I think that's where all of these different pieces come into play.
Analytics, of course, are brought up all the time across the board. Analytics in basketball, which five individuals work best together on the floor. They have an analytic for that. You watch the Pirates play a baseball game. You watch how they set up defensively. It's analytics that creates that. How important are analytics in your sport, and what kind of usage do you have for it versus the instinct part in coaching?
You know, of course, analytics is huge in sports right now, and I would argue that they're no bigger in any other sport than soccer, because you've got programs like Manchester United that have 15 different analysts analyzing every movement of every player. At this point, we chart everything from where each pass goes of every player, how many touches each player, if they go forward or they're back, who are their top players that they're passing to, where are they receiving the ball on the field. It's a lot of information, and I think as a coach, you can get caught up in that information. So it's crucial to still rely on your instincts and still go back to rely on what you know. But this all comes into play when you're making decisions, of course.
We're with Erica Walsh. Erica, your team coming back this year. Obviously, this is a point in time where they have to do work on their own. Idealistically, what do they need to be doing right now so that when you can have them full-time and you can get them back on track to get the season rolling?
You know, ideally, we would have 6 weeks of preseason going into our season, but NCAA allows us to have 3 weeks, which means that once they step on this field, they've got to be ready to train. They've got to be ready to be prepared to go into tactics, to work on their techniques. The physical side of it has to be done. You'll find that many of our athletes are here on campus working with our strength coach, or they've been put into teams around the country that they can continue to grow athletically and fitness-based. And so the work's being put in at this point, and if it's not, then the success won't come. And I think we've made that abundantly clear to the team at the end of the spring and prepared them at the end of the spring to get a good jump start on the summer conditioning.
One thing in intercollegiate athletics, leadership changes from year to year for obvious reasons. And each set of leaders brings their own style to the table that a coach needs to rely on. What core group of leaders will you be looking at initially in that 3 weeks that can then get your season going in the direction where you as the coach can rely on them and it doesn't always have to come from you?
Well, you can sometimes look at a freshman class and have a pretty good idea of what it will look like when they're seniors. When Raquel Rodriguez and Mallory Weber and Britt Eckerstrom were freshmen, these three were born leaders. They've got the work ethic. They've got their lead by example, the personality. I think when these three walked in the door, they had incredible potential for leadership, and I think it's been developed over time through teammates that came before them. But I think when you watch Raquel Rodriguez this fall, you're going to see a player that's competed at the international level in a World Cup. You're going to see Britt Eckerstrom, who's in her fifth season, who's been a starter for us, And Mal Weber is the player that fans say they've never seen somebody that's worked harder on the field. So I think the potential of these three is fantastic.
And Rocky not only played in the World Cup, she scored for Costa Rica in the World Cup as well. When they go on international competition such as that, obviously there's their own way and their own style of playing. I remember talking with her, and she said one of the areas of adjustment that she had to make when she first came to Penn State was going from the, quote, Costa Rican style that she was used to playing the style here. I mean, those are her words. I'm just using
right.
her words that she gave us on the show. So is there sometimes the first few days of acclimation for you with her because she has been involved with another style, a different coach, and so forth?
You know, I think there's a little bit of acclimation from both sides because Rocky's here because she does bring a different element. And so our players take some time to adjust to her. She adjusts a bit, but overall, we want that flair. We want the way that she plays. We want that as a part of our team. I remember one of our previous All-Americans, Christine Nairn, her senior year. She was playing with Rocky. Rocky was a freshman. I remember her turning to me and saying, "I've learned more from playing with her for 1 year than I have in any other part of my life." So, I think the influence of these international players, will have a German that will be with us this fall. It brings a different flair to Jeffrey Field, and it's exciting for the people in the community as well.
Schedule-wise, you have always made sure that you have built a schedule that along the way gets you absolutely ready for the Big Ten, which then gets you ready for postseason play. What kind of schedule do you have for the fans to watch this year?
You hit the nail on the head. That's the philosophy of the coaching staff and the program. We'll be headed out to Stanford and Santa Clara. We've got the likes of Duke at home. We'll be bringing plenty of good quality top 20 teams onto Jeffrey Field. And as it is everywhere, every year, we've got one of the top five most challenging schedules in the country.
That is Erica Walsh, the head soccer coach of the Penn State women's soccer team. What, 14-time Big Ten champions? And she paid proper homage to Pat Farmer, who started the program, and Paula Wilkins, who did a great job with it. But she's put her own stamp on it, and they have been outstanding. But the interesting part, and I think that's, you notice the part that she jumped on there in the interview, is you now have 2 million girls in this country, 2 million, that are now actively playing soccer. And that it used to be years ago that they would go out to recruit and they'd go to one of these tournaments and they'd see maybe 10 players that they thought were going to be recruitable, help, difference makers in the program. She says now her and her assistants go to these tournaments and they see 50 players that you can lock in on and feel comfortable recruiting that can come into a Division I program like Penn State and make a difference. That's the important part right there. That is the important part. That now you have more and more women in this country, young girls, out there playing soccer, enjoying it, and it's taken the depth of the talent pool and increased it exponentially. You're seeing higher quality soccer on the high school level. You're seeing higher quality soccer on the college level, which is translating into having great soccer on the international level. And, you know, the United States, you know, Germany, Japan, France, all top flight teams in the world. And, of course, the next major competition for the United States will be in Rio when they go to the Olympic Games. That's the next major competition, and that, of course, is coming up in just a year, 1 year from now. The next World Cup is 4 years from now, and that will be in France, I do believe. All right, great to have Erica Walsh on. Also great to have Brandon Taylor on. I mentioned Lift for Life. That was Saturday at the Penn State lacrosse field. It was great, by the way, to have Ben Klein on the show on Friday talking about Lift for Life. And it went, I think, about as well as they could have hoped. There were 2,500 fans there. 2,500 fans showed up for this on Saturday. And every time, you know, here it is, it's the 13th year. There's obviously been a lot of emotion surrounding it, especially early on. There was a lot of emotion the last couple of years with it, with what has happened here on campus. You do wonder, okay, you know, is there a point where, all right, you know, will it be interesting? Will they get people to come out? Because it is the 13th year. And the stands were completely filled. People were up on the hill as well. Eventually there'll be stands there on the hill. They're going to redo that part as well. But that part's been great. The way they've been able to just draw people in, they're donating money. The initial number is $119,000, which puts them over the $1.1 million barrier in the history of Lift for Life. And even at $119,000, which is another, you know, a record-setting year for them, even at that, they are the number one donator to the Kidney Cancer Association. And that's what Uplifting Athletes does. It gets college students together, student athletes, to raise money for rare diseases. When I mentioned earlier, and we're talking about this on Friday, when Dave Coslow, Damone Jones, Scott Shirley, obviously, started this, and then in conjunction with Darian Hardy, what was interesting, you know, interesting bad, that then turned into something that was a positive, a fundraiser, was that those four players all had dads with kidney cancer. Well, that's way beyond the normal percentage in a group of 100 guys. That's way beyond 4%. I think the kidney cancer number is in the low twos, like 2.1%. What, to have four out of 100 was awfully high. What has been interesting to me over the years is that you have had players on the team that have had relatives afflicted with kidney cancer. But there have also been some years where there have been no players on the team with anyone afflicted with kidney cancer, and yet they've gone out every year and they've done this fundraiser. And that shows you the dedication of what's going on. We have right now so many negative images that are put out there, because the negative images are, you know, let's face it, the interesting news items of the day. The last two, obviously, items that happened at Florida State with the quarterback and the running back. And that's been the big news, is what's been happening at Florida State. That's the TMZ part of it. We talk about it all the time. And it goes back to the old news adage, which I'm sure you've heard used a few times, quote, if it bleeds, it leads. Well, in intercollegiate athletics, having players arrested for various reasons falls under the category of bleeding and leading. Good stories, great stories, are not ones that I think they make people feel great, but at the same time, they don't get you to turn to the TV set or flip the radio on and go, okay, what are they talking about? The number of really great people involved in intercollegiate athletics, the number of great student athletes that have big hearts that are in intercollegiate athletics are exponentially greater than the bad stories that you hear out there. Exponentially greater. There's no comparison between the bad apples that lead SportsCenter or lead the news versus the exponentially greater number of great young people that go out there and want to give back because they've been able to achieve something on a field or a court. But they're not going to get the same publicity. Lift for Life's just another one of those great moments. And it was great to be a part of it on Saturday. Coming up next hour, Kevin and I will open the phone lines. Up next, update at the top of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK on this Monday. The All-Star break is upon us. The Pirates playing the best baseball right now anywhere. They may have the second best record in baseball behind the Cardinals, but right now they're the best team in baseball. After taking three out of four from St. Louis, including the last three, the last two in dramatic fashion, with walk-off wins, each time rallying after falling behind in extra innings. It's only the eighth time in modern history that's ever happened. And Lip for Life was on Saturday. $119,000, the preliminary number raised in the Lip for Life. Great success. Team in great shape. Camp coming up in just a few weeks for the 2015 season. It's getting to that time of the year. We'll be talking with Erica Walsh, Penn State women's soccer coach, in a few moments. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served their customers for decades. Find out what it's like to deal with the best. Someone that will take a good look at your insurance needs, and they'll get you the best price. The right coverage, the best price. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, which is 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. United States women's soccer team coming off the great triumph in the World Cup. Kenya the champions. They were there on Friday being honored in New York. Each one of them receiving a replica key to the city of New York. Great moment for them. It's also a great moment for Penn State. There were five Nittany Lions in the World Cup, one current player, four former players, two of which played for the United States. Allie Krieger, in fact, played every minute of every match in the World Cup. Very pleased now to be joined by the head soccer coach of the Nittany Lion women's soccer team, Erica Walsh. Erica, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity.
What a presence Penn State had at the World Cup with five Nittany Lions involved in the World Cup. What does that mean for the program to have that kind of presence on that stage?
Well, obviously, since the program's inception back in 1994, the support from the administration has been incredible. Right off the bat, the program was winning Big Ten championships 4 years in and won them ever since, except with the exception of 1 year. So, you know, starting from Coach Farmer and then Coach Wilkins and then through my era as well, program's been extremely successful, and you know, I think all Penn Staters obviously are so proud of the work that these five young ladies did in the World Cup.
And of course, listen, Allie Krieger ended up, Allie played every minute of every match.
Allie Krieger is a warrior, and yeah. The amount of positive publicity that she's bringing in for Penn State right now is incredible.
It really is. It's meant a lot to the program as to what she's been able to do along the way. Now, of course, and when you watched her play, what were some of the elements as she worked from the back up that really impressed you as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you start to talk about Allie Krieger, the thing that comes to mind the most is she's just a warrior. You know, I think that she was initially chosen for that World Cup team back in the day because of the way she defends, and she's relentless in her work ethic. But she's developed into a more complete player now. You see her flying forward out of the back. You see the quality of her crosses. Her development over the last 10 years has been very, very impressive. And she's just now that complete player that I would argue is the best right back in the world at this point.
You've been deeply involved in international soccer over the years, Erica, for the United States. What has allowed the United States to be among the top three or four year in and year out, regardless of a World Cup?
Well, obviously, we are choosing from a much greater pool than many of these other countries. But with that being said, I think that our development program is more advanced than many of these countries in terms of from the youth level to the local level to the region to the state to the national level and through our Olympic development program. So, you know, I think that we're starting to get things right. Obviously, up to this point, we've been a bit bigger, faster, stronger than all of these countries. And now that we're starting to develop more technical and tactical athletes, hopefully we can continue to stay on top.
2 million girls are playing soccer across the country right now, and this has been a number that has been growing. As you recruit, are you seeing a deeper pool to recruit from on the college level because of those increasing numbers?
You know, it's a good question, Steve, and it's been really exciting as my staff goes around the country and we go to these youth tournaments. That is absolutely the case. You know, I think whereas we used to walk away with a list of 10 that had the quality to play at a Penn State, now we're walking away with a list of 50 that are the top players in the country, and that has just grown exponentially as the years have passed. And as players from my generation are now getting into coaching and they're coaching their daughters, you know, I think now we've got a generation of coaches that all played the game at a high level versus in our generation we were coached by our parents that were just wanted to be involved with their sons and daughters. So I think you're seeing a completely different level of coaching, and as a result you're seeing a different level of player.
In your coaching experience, because it's so deep and so varied, what are a couple of things that you picked up along the way that you now incorporate at Penn State that maybe if you hadn't had an international experience, it may not be present?
Well, obviously, we've got a tremendous impact from the game from around the world and experts from around the world. And when you look at what the top clubs are doing, both the men's and the women's side, you see these experts in so many fields. You see the use of technology and video, and now the use of video at halftime. Our players all wear heart rate monitors. We're investing in GPS. And all of this is just more data and information to stay ahead of the competitors, to stay ahead of the competition, but more importantly, to keep these athletes healthy. And I think that we've got the quality of player and athlete to be successful, to win a national championship at Penn State, but you got to keep them healthy and you got to keep them on the field. And I think that's where all of these different pieces come into play.
Analytics, of course, are brought up all the time across the board. Analytics in basketball, which five individuals work best together on the floor. They have an analytic for that. You watch the Pirates play a baseball game, you watch how they set up defensively, it's analytics that creates that. How important are analytics in your sport, and what kind of usage do you have for it versus the instinct part in coaching?
You know, of course, analytics is huge in sports right now, and I would argue that they're no bigger in any other sport than soccer, because you've got programs like Manchester United that have 15 different analysts analyzing every movement of every player. At this point, we chart everything from where each pass goes of every player, how many touches each player, if they go forward or they're back, who are their top players that they're passing to, where are they receiving the ball on the field. It's a lot of information, and I think as a coach, you can get caught up in that information. So it's crucial to still rely on your instincts and still go back to rely on what you know. But this all comes into play when you're making decisions, of course.
We're with Erica Walsh. Erica, your team coming back this year. Obviously, this is a point in time where they have to do work on their own. Idealistically, what do they need to be doing right now so that when you can have them full-time and you can get them back on track to get the season rolling?
You know, ideally, we would have 6 weeks of preseason going into our season, but NCAA allows us to have 3 weeks, which means that once they step on this field, they've got to be ready to train. They've got to be ready to be prepared to go into tactics, to work on their techniques. So the physical side of it has to be done. You'll find that many of our athletes are here on campus working with our strength coach, or they've been put into teams around the country that they can continue to grow athletically and fitness-based. And so the work's being put in at this point. And if it's not, then the success won't come. And I think we've made that abundantly clear to the team at the end of the spring and prepared them at the end of the spring to get a good jump start on the summer conditioning.
One thing in intercollegiate athletics, leadership changes from year to year for obvious reasons. And each set of leaders brings their own style to the table that a coach needs to rely on. What core group of leaders will you be looking at initially in that 3 weeks that can then get your season going in the direction where you as the coach can rely on them and it doesn't always have to come from you?
Well, you can sometimes look at a freshman class and have a pretty good idea of what it will look like when they're seniors. When Raquel Rodriguez and Mallory Weber and Britt Eckerstrom were freshmen, these three were born leaders. They've got the work ethic. They've got the lead by example, the personality. I think when these three walked in the door, they had incredible potential for leadership, and I think it's been developed over time through teammates that came before them. But I think when you watch Raquel Rodriguez this fall, you're going to see a player that's competed at the international level in a World Cup. You're going to see Britt Eckerstrom, who's in her fifth season, who's been a starter for us. And Mal Weber is the player that fans say they've never seen somebody that's worked harder on the field. So I think the potential of these three is fantastic.
And Rocky not only played in the World Cup, she scored for Costa Rica in the World Cup as well. When they go on international competition such as that, obviously there's their own way and their own style of playing. I remember talking with her, and she said one of the areas of adjustment that she had to make when she first came to Penn State was going from the, quote, Costa Rican style that she was used to playing the style here. I mean, those are her words. I'm just using
right.
her words that she gave us on the show. So is there sometimes the first few days of acclimation for you with her because she has been involved with another style, a different coach, and so forth?
You know, I think there's a little bit of acclimation from both sides because Rocky's here because she does bring a different element. And so our players take some time to adjust to her. She adjusts a bit. But overall, we want that flair. We want the way that she plays. We want that as a part of our team. I remember one of our previous All-Americans, Christine Nairn, her senior year. She was playing with Rocky. Rocky was a freshman. I remember her turning to me and saying, "I've learned more from playing with her for 1 year than I have in any other part of my life." So, I think the influence of these international players, will have a German that will be with us this fall. It brings a different flair to Jeffrey Field, and it's exciting for the people in the community as well.
Schedule-wise, you have always made sure that you have built a schedule that along the way gets you absolutely ready for the Big Ten, which then gets you ready for postseason play. What kind of schedule do you have for the fans to watch this year?
You hit the nail on the head. That's the philosophy of the coaching staff and the program. We'll be headed out to Stanford and Santa Clara. We've got the likes of Duke at home. We'll be bringing plenty of good quality top 20 teams onto Jeffrey Field. And as it is everywhere, every year, we've got one of the top five most challenging schedules in the country.
That is Erica Walsh, the head soccer coach of the Penn State women's soccer team. What, 14-time Big Ten champions? And she played proper homage to Pat Farmer, who started the program, and Paula Wilkins, who did a great job with it. But she's put her own stamp on it, and they have been outstanding. But the interesting part, and I think that's, you notice the part that she jumped on there in the interview, is you now have 2 million girls in this country, 2 million, that are now actively playing soccer. And that it used to be years ago that they would go out to recruit and they'd go to one of these tournaments and they'd see maybe 10 players that they thought were going to be recruitable, help, difference makers in the program. She says now her and her assistants go to these tournaments and they see 50 players that you can lock in on and feel comfortable recruiting that can come into a Division I program like Penn State and make a difference. That's the important part right there. That is the important part. That now you have more and more women in this country, young girls, out there playing soccer, enjoying it, and it's taken the depth of the talent pool and increased it exponentially. You're seeing higher quality soccer on the high school level. You're seeing higher quality soccer on the college level, which is translating into having great soccer on the international level. And, you know, the United States, you know, Germany, Japan, France, all top flight teams in the world. And of course, the next major competition for the United States will be in Rio when they go to the Olympic Games. That's the next major competition. And that, of course, is coming up in just a year, 1 year from now. The next World Cup is 4 years from now, and that will be in France, I do believe. All right, great to have Erica Walsh on. Also great to have Brandon Taylor on. I mentioned Lift for Life. That was Saturday at the Penn State lacrosse field. It was great, by the way, to have Ben Klein on the show on Friday talking about Lift for Life. And it went, I think, about as well as they could have hoped. There were 2,500 fans there. 2,500 fans showed up for this on Saturday. And every time, you know, here it is, it's the 13th year. There's obviously been a lot of emotion surrounding it, especially early on. There was a lot of emotion the last couple of years with it, with what has happened here on campus. You do wonder, okay, you know, is there a point where, all right, you know, will it be interesting? Will they get people to come out? Because it is the 13th year. And the stands were completely filled. People were up on the hill as well. Eventually there'll be stands there on the hill. They're going to redo that part as well. But that part's been great. The way they've been able to just draw people in, they're donating money. The initial number is $119,000, which puts them over the $1.1 million barrier in the history of Lift for Life. And even at $119,000, which is another, you know, a record-setting year for them, even at that, they are the number one donator to the Kidney Cancer Association. And that's what Uplifting Athletes does. It gets college students together, student athletes, to raise money for rare diseases. When I mentioned earlier, and we're talking about this on Friday, when Dave Coslow, Damone Jones, Scott Shirley, obviously, started this, and then in conjunction with Darian Hardy, what was interesting, that then turned into something that was a positive, a fundraiser, was that those four players all had dads with kidney cancer. Well, that's way beyond the normal percentage in a group of 100 guys. That's way beyond 4%. I think the kidney cancer number is in the low twos, like 2.1%. What, to have four out of 100 was awfully high. What has been interesting to me over the years is that you have had players on the team that have had relatives afflicted with kidney cancer. But there have also been some years where there have been no players on the team with anyone afflicted with kidney cancer, and yet they've gone out every year and they've done this fundraiser. And that shows you the dedication of what's going on. We have right now so many negative images that are put out there, because the negative images are, you know, let's face it, the news, the interesting news items of the day. The last two, obviously, items that happened at Florida State with the quarterback and the running back. And that's been the big news, is what's been happening at Florida State. That's the TMZ part of it. We talk about it all the time. And it goes back to the old news adage, which I'm sure you've heard used a few times, quote, if it bleeds, it leads. Well, in intercollegiate athletics, having players arrested for various reasons falls under the category of bleeding and leading. Good stories, great stories, are not ones that I think they make people feel great, but at the same time, they don't get you to turn to the TV set or flip the radio on and go, okay, what are they talking about? The number of really great people involved in intercollegiate athletics, the number of great student athletes that have big hearts that are in intercollegiate athletics are exponentially greater than the bad stories that you hear out there. Exponentially greater. There's no comparison between the bad apples that lead SportsCenter or lead the news versus the exponentially greater number of great young people that go out there and want to give back because they've been able to achieve something on a field or a court. But they're not going to get the same publicity. Lift for Life's just another one of those great moments. And it was great to be a part of it on Saturday. Coming up next hour, Kevin and I will open the phone lines. Up next, update at the top of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.